two candidates are on the Republican primary ballot for U.S. House 12th Congressional District. One of them is incumbent Tom Marino. WPSU's Ann Danahy talked with Marino about why he's running for re-election and how he responds to critics of legislation he sponsored.
Tom Marino, thank you for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
You're from the Williamsport area and you're serving your fourth term in the House of Representatives. Why are you running for re-election?
Because I see that we have accomplished quite a bit that I set out to do. And with President Trump in office, I even see more and more being done. And there's a great deal more of work to do, and I want to participate in that. However, I am a term limit guy, so I term limited myself out for 12 years. And I'm in my eighth year right now.
Why do you support term limits when voters have that option, theoretically, every time they go to the polls?
Well, you don't see much of a change because everybody thinks, for the most part, their Congress member, whether it's the House or the Senate person, is the best thing since sliced bread. But you got to look at voting records, and I think after 12 years is enough. Industry's noted for that. You see executives of corporations shifting jobs 8, 10, 12 years. And give someone newer, someone younger, male or female, an opportunity to come in and serve.
If you are reelected, what would your priority be?
My priority would be is continuing working on tax cuts. It would also be building the wall between Mexico and the United States, whether it's a steel structure in addition to technology that we have. Also trying to bring down the cost of tuition, making sure that our Social Security is safe for the future, and by and large, just proving the quality of life for Americans, making sure that we have good-paying jobs and that more companies are thriving in the U.S. and more businesses are coming back.
On the question of the wall, how do you think the United States should pay for that? President Trump, of course, said Mexico would pay for it.
He did say Mexico would pay for it, and to a certain extent, there is a way to make Mexico, or at least try and persuade them to take part in this. But if they can't and they're not going to, we have to put this wall up and separate the bad people from coming in this country. And so don't forget we have a $71 billion trade deficit with Mexico. So there's a way there that we can balance this out to help pay for this. But we are going to have to find the funds, and we can find the funds by downsizing the government. That's way too big. We can, again, keep working on the tax structure to bring taxes down that will create more jobs. So if there are more people working, there are more taxes being paid.
Would you support cracking down on businesses that employ illegal immigrants?
Of course. I've always supported that as a prosecutor. I was a DA and a U.S. attorney. I've handled cases like that. We need to use the E-Verify, so we're making sure who is coming into this country on a yearly basis are the right people, are the people that we need. We need people coming into this country from Mexico and around the world to help with construction jobs on farming. I'm in a rural area, live in the middle of five farms, and the Hispanic population is a tremendous asset to us there where they're helping dairy farmers, they're picking crops that unfortunately Americans do not want to do. I've seen in the construction industry where the Hispanics are out on roofs when it's 100 degrees out in the south. We definitely need these individuals. I think we need to make it easier for our people who come in from outside of the U.S. to help us in manufacturing or picking crops or building houses. So they make their money, they pay their taxes, they go back home with their savings, and they're back the next year. And we just have to make sure there are enough people to do that. And we want the same people back each year that abide by the rules.
You've been sharply criticized for legislation you introduced called the Ensuring Patient Access and Effective Drug Enforcement Act. And
yes.
Critics say it makes it much harder for law enforcement to crack down on distributors who are flooding the market with opioids. How do you respond to that?
Well, that's not true. It was a bogus piece by 60 Minutes and the Washington Post, who didn't pay any attention to the facts. They didn't even interview me.
What was bogus about it?
First of all, they didn't even read the legislation. They didn't realize that When my legislation went over to the Senate, it was changed. They changed the wording, which made it more difficult. My name wasn't even on it. And my original legislation went over, was approved by the DEA. They liked it.
The counter argument.
The reason we started this was because people were, I was getting calls from pharmacists. I was getting calls from senior citizens that they weren't able to get their prescriptions for people who had cancer or who were terminally ill. So that was the move behind it.
Sure. The counter-argument, though, I'm sorry if I could just interrupt, the counter-argument is that even though the wording was changed over on the Senate side, that it was your legislation, and if you had wanted to keep it the way it initially was, that you could have done that.
No, I couldn't have, because it was under the Obama administration. The White House said to the Senate, if you want this legislation passed, you have to use this language, but the DEA still approved of that language. Everybody voted for it, and the president signed it into law. Every congressman and Democrat, Republican in the House, every Democrat and Republican in the Senate, all voted for it. Nobody opposed it, and the president signed it into law, and it's still the law, and we're fighting to get that back to the word foreseeability, because DEA came to the Hill and testified about a month ago and said, we want Marino's term in there, foreseeability, because that allows us to go after the manufacturers, which I think they should if they need to.
You're supporting legislation now that would modify the current law?
We're talking about legislation with the Senate that would move that language from substantial back to my original language, which lowers the bar for DEA to go in and make an arrest, if you want to say an arrest. Really, this is administrative. But they want to go back to what they originally agreed to back a couple of years ago as my term, foreseeability.
And you also withdrew your nomination as President Trump's drug czar last year after reports about the legislation came out. And among those reports was that you received financial contributions from the pharmaceutical industry. Did the industry influence the legislation?
No way. Industry didn't even have a look at it. And if the media does their homework, they're going to see that every single member in Congress just about received contributions, not only from pharmaceuticals, but others as well. And the figure they were quoting, they made it sound like in 1 year, and that was over a seven-year period.
Tom Marino, Republican candidate for the U.S. House, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet.